Okay, I think we said we would begin with a little bit of Inyanei Hanukkah, and then we'll switch over to Chulin. Again, we're sitting in a different configuration. I have to see how many weeks they can keep it up. You know, the Kiddush here, every week we're sitting in a different way. No, they have to, they are there, and there's, every week it's a Kiddush of some sort, you know, to keep me guessing. Okay, let me start just with a little bit of a few just quick points on Yoni Hanukkah. Do we have a sitter somewhere?
Just a
regular sitter. The Gemara in Shabbos, of course, which quotes the Brisa of My Hanukkah, so it tells us that there are three components of our celebration. My Hanukkah, the language itself, is very nechudash. You don't really find that kind of formulation when it comes to other holidays. But Rashi explains that My Hanukkah means which is the central focus, I guess, what is the major motif upon which Hanukkah is based. After all, I'm just filling in what Rashi undoubtedly means. There are several candidates. I mean, there are several aspects of the celebration, potential candidates to focus on. Everybody knows the Nitzachon, the Mochama, the Neis Pach HaShemen. There are many other dimensions as well, which one could, in theory, accentuate in the context of celebrating Hanukkah. And when the Gemara says, My Hanukkah, it's trying to identify what are the major themes. And the Gemara goes on to tell a little bit of the story, not so much, but a little bit of the background, the aftermath of the war in particular. And then we're told that they were Koveya, the days of Hanukkah, as a Yom Tov, Shel Halel Behodah. And Rashi, of course, interprets the word Hodah as a... Rashi interprets the Hodah as a reference to the saying of Ala Nisim. So it's clear that according to Rashi, Ala Nisim contains ingredients, understanding, and ingredients that are crucial for a proper understanding of the special nature of Hanukkah. So if you begin to analyze Ala Nisim, obviously that will be very fruitful for understanding what we should be focusing on the days of Hanukkah. And when we do that, so we begin, Bimei Matasyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonayu Banav. Firstly, the Ala Nisim identifies everything that took place with a certain era, certain individuals. In that sense, it is parallel to the Ala Nisim of Purim. But it begins by explaining the motivation and the agenda of the Yavanim. Kishamdu Malchus Yavan Arasha Lamcha Yisrael Lahashkicham Tarasecha Ulahaviram Bechukei Ritzonecha. And then from there we hear about the Ribbono Shel Olam's role. Atabarachamecha Harabim Amarta Lahem Beis Tzarasam Rav Tasribam Dantos Dinam Nakantas Nikmasam Asarta Giborim Biad Kalashim Rabim Biad Matim Tmeim Biad Tahorim Rishoim Biad Tzadikim Zedim Biad Oske Sarasecha. And then, finally, after we know what the struggle is all about, what exactly how it unfolded. L'cha asis Hashem gadol v'kadosh b'olamecha, v'lamcha Yisrael asis ha'tshua gadola u'purkan kayom hazeh, and then, achakach bo v'necha, d'r'beitzecha, t'yaruis mikdashecha, etc. So basically there are four, or five, depending on how you read it, components in Ala Nisim describing the various forces that were arrayed one against the other, and the various developments that took place. I want to just zero in for a moment on the agenda of the Yavanim, which obviously is crucial to our understanding, because the Nais was to neutralize that threat and that agenda. And the Ala Nisim tells us that it was Lahashkicham Torasecha Ulahaviram Bechukei Ritzonecha. That description is very challenging. L'hashkicham Torasecha, to cause you to forget Torah, is a very strange usage and a strange idea, so it would appear. I mean, they were attacking our memory. What exactly does that mean? lahavira michukei ritzonecha is also not so obvious. Somehow this is connected with chukim, and what exactly is chukei ritzonecha for that matter. So the idea of lahashkicham torasecha, some of the mefarshim explain, ties in very nicely with a mesorah that has, I think, deep roots, and the Rav in particular liked this idea, and that is that Chanukah is the holiday of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Now, some people say, you know, just to kind of to capture it succinctly, they say this in all sorts of different ways, but basically, Purim is a celebration which is recorded, of course, in Torah Shebichsav, Megillas Esther. The Rambam, when he wants to characterize the halachos of Purim, calls them Hilchos Megillah. It's Megillah v'Chanukah. Chanukah, we don't focus on text, there is no text. It's not Hilchos Neros Chanukah either, it's Hilchos Chanukah. Purim is about the Megillah, Hilchos Megillah. Indeed, we begin to celebrate Purim because of Kriyas HaMegillah before Purim. Right? Bezmanehem, Zmanim Harbe Tiknulem Chachamim. So actually we start reading the Megillah possibly several days from Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, depending on what day of the week Purim really falls out, and you know when they could have enough of a sibur in the Kfarim. You can have Purim before Purim because the focus of Purim is very much on Kriyas HaMegillah, and the whole end of the Megillah is the saga and the odyssey of trying to get the Megillah into the canon, into Kisvei HaKodesh. Kisvuni Ludoros, all of that focuses on the Megillah. The Megillah is, you know, Kimu Mashikib Lukvar, possibly, because again, it's attempting to add to what seemed to already been a closed canon, and so that should not be considered Baltosif, but it should be considered part of Torah Shebichsav. So it's Kimu Mashikib Lukvar, there had to be a new Kabbalah Satorah on what already existed, so that there would be a seamless integration with the Kriyas HaMegillah, with the status of Megillah, Zechefta Shel Torah, Shebichsav, which was going to be added. So the focus, when it comes to Purim, is very much on Torah Shebichsav, and on the addition to the canon of the Megillah. And not only that, but the Yerushalmi explains, and the Rambam codifies this in the end of Hilchos Megillah, that not only is Megillah part of Torah Shebichsav, it's a part of Torah Shebichsav, you know, which continues to have significance, even if part of the other Kisvei HaKodesh lose some of their significance. That, of course, is the issue that the Ravid doesn't like. Question how to read the Yerushalmi. But, you know, Zichram le'asuf mizaram, basically, not only is it going to be part of Torah Shebichsav, it's going to be, together with Chamisha Chumshei Torah, a very prominent part of Torah Shebichsav, even in Yemos HaMashiach. But Chanukah, of course, there is no text. The Rav used to always explain that the reason that the Rambam begins Hilchos Chanukah with history, all of a sudden the Rambam is concerned with history. The answer is because, as he explains in Hagdama to Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam said, I'm writing this book called the Mishnah Torah, which basically means that if you learn Torah Shebichsav and you read my Sefer, it's a very large Sefer, it's not so easy to digest, but if you understand my Sefer and you read Torah Shebichsav, you'll have all the information that you need to know. Essentially, you'll have Torah Shebichsav, you'll have Perusha, as the Rambam explains again in his Hakdama to Yad HaChazaka, and that's all you need. And so the Rambam used to explain that's why in Hilchos Megillah there is no parallel historical introduction. Just dive right into the halachos, because the story of Mordechai and Esther, the Shushan Avira, is all delineated in the Torah Shebichsav in Mikra Megillah, which was successfully Kisvuni Ladoros incorporated into Torah Shebichsav. But Chanukah, there is no Torah Shebichsav, and therefore you need to outline the historical background. I'm just adding that maybe, you know, aside from the historical issue, you know, whether at that point it was Shayach already to incorporate more into the canon. Maybe in principle there is no Torah Shebichsav, I'm suggesting or speculating, and it's not a coincidence that there is none, but because the whole idea of Chanukah is to celebrate the importance of Torah Sheba'al Peh not Torah Shebichtav. And therefore, if that's true, so perhaps we can understand a little bit of this term of L'hashkicham Torasecha. The Griz, Rav Elbel, in the Perush that he has Ala Torah in Parshas Vaschanan, makes this Ha'ara. He says L'hashkicham Torasecha refers to Torah Shebal Peh, because only Torah Shebal Peh is really Nitan L'shikcha. Right? If you have Torah Shebichtav, so you can't forget it if you want to. Right? You can forget Perusha. Perusha is already Torah Shebal Peh. But there's nothing you can do, really, to obliterate. I mean, you could try. I mean, we know the stories in Tanakh, where Torah Shebichtav was also forgotten or lost for long periods of time. But when you find it, it's there. That's the point. The Torah Shebal Peh is really Nitan L'shikcha, because if you don't have an ongoing Mesorah, and if you're not dedicated to the details of that Mesorah, then it really is Nitan L'shikcha. And therefore, L'hashkicham Torah Secha, says Rav Elbel, is a specific reference to Torah Shebal Peh. That was what the Yevanim were attacking. They were trying to separate us from the Mesorah. That's much easier to do. It's a different kind of an agenda. I'm suggesting that that's connected with the fact that there is no Megillah, and that much of our knowledge of Chanukah itself is based on a Mesorah midor lador. But I think it's more than that. When the Rambam in Rambam we have, right? Thank you. When the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah provides the historical background, he doesn't use the word L'hashkicham Tarasecha. Instead, he says that what the Yevanim were trying to do was disrupt Esek BaTorah. I think it's a very interesting phrase. Per Gimel Halach Aleph, he says, V'bayis sheni kishim molchu Yavan gazru gzeros al Yisrael u'bitlu datam v'lo hinichu osam lasok b'Torah u'b'mitzvah. So, instead of saying the Ratsu L'Hashkicham Torasecha, he says, Lo Hinichu Osam Lasok B'Torah B'Mitzvos. On the surface, that sounds different than what Al-Nisim tells us. What do we mean by Lo Hinichu Osam Lasok B'Torah? It sounds like he's just trying to prevent them from learning Torah and from doing mitzvos, but that wasn't necessarily their agenda, L'Hashkicham Torasecha. However, if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Parak Aleph, Halacha Yud, it's interesting to note the Rambam's language formulation. And I think you have to read that in light of this, together with Al-Nisim, to appreciate what is really going on here. The Rambam in Parak Aleph, Hilchos Talmud Torah, second, says the following. Ram talks about the obligation to learn your whole life. And then he says, you're supposed to learn every day, b'yom u'b'alayla. And then he says, ad emasar chayev l'lmod Torah, ad yom moso. Person's obligated to continue his learning ad yom moso. Shenemar u'pen yasuru milavavcha kol yemei chayecha. And then he adds, the kozman shelo yasuk b'limud hu shokheach. So if you put this Rambam together with the Rambam of Hilchos Chanukah, and then you look at Al-Nisim, what is the Rambam saying? Interruption of Esek HaTorah leads to Shikcha. The truth is, if you look at the Mishnah and Avos, which we also have here, thank you, the Mishnah Avos Paragimel, Mishnah Ches, speaks about the importance of Shikcha HaTorah. We're told that a shocheach Torah is a person who is mischayev benafsho, very severe formulation. Misha says, "Hu hay omer." One second. No, Rav Dustoy, Rav Yanai, Mishum Rav Meir Omer, kol shocheach dover echad mi mishnaso mal alav akasuv ki ilu mischayev benafsho. Right, kol shocheach davar echad mi mishnaso is ki ilu mischay benafsho. But what's fascinating is, again, you have this idea of Shikchas HaTorah, the pasuk that is quoted, Shenemar Rak Hishamer Lecha, Ushmor Nafshecha Miod, Pentishkach HaSadvarim Asherro Einecha. Number one, the pasuk that is quoted is the pasuk that relates to remembering the details of Maimon Har Sinai, of Matan Torah. On the surface, what does that have to do with Shocheach Dover Echad Mimishnaso? Very strange. But then the Mishnah goes on to say, and let's say a person's memory is faulty because of age, or because he learned so much that, you know, he he can't absorb everything that he is learning. In other words, a kind of an onus situation caused by one or other factors. So he says, Yochal afil tokfal of Mishnaso, Talmud Lomar, pen yasuru milababcha kol yimei chayecha. Obviously, if this is an onus, then there's no such mischayev benafsho. Now, this pasuk, pen yasuru milavavcha kol yimei chayecha, which is in that context, of course, of Maimon Har Sinai, is, of course, the very same pasuk that the Rambam quotes here in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perk Aleph Halacha Yud. Ad Emes Achai Vadim Luma Torah Ad Yom Moso Shenemar Ten Yosuru Milavavcha Kol Yimei Chayecha The Kolzman Shelo Yasuk Belimud Hu Shocheach. Rabbi Yona in his Parish on Avos explains, well, what is the Reisha? Kol Shocheach Dover Mimishnaso. How do you Shocheach Dover? How do you kind of eradicate your memory? It sounds like you're trying to forget, or you're taking steps which will, secure or ensure your forgetting. So Rabbi Yona explains that doesn't mean that at all, and that basically this can happen b'sheva al taseh, this can happen passively, as long as you don't take steps and you don't continue to pursue the study of Torah with rigor and persistence. Huay omer, kol, one second, see if I can find the line. Rabbi Stoy ben Yana b'shum abeir omer, Kol shochech davar echad mimishnaso ma'alo l'makasiv kinu mischai b'nafsho, shenem araki shomer lecha, ashel ha'nasan b'lebavo le'mar, ki ashikcha mitzuya b'bnei adam, v'hayel ha'lachzor ha'halacha harbe pa'amim, v'lach shavo kol ayom v'kol ha'layla, ad shelo tuchal lasur milibo, v'lo asa, harei zeh mischai b'nafsho, ki avo l'horos al piyaz karaso, then he connects it to a person who is going to give an incorrect psak halacha, which isn't necessarily the pashas of the Mishnah, but basically what Rabbi Yona is telling us is that shocheach isn't something that you have to go about trying to accomplish, but that neglect, but inexcusable neglect, is also a basis for kol shocheach mischai b'nafsho. In other words, if your learning is not important enough to you for you to try to secure it, then that kind of attitude, kind of very laissez-faire attitude when it comes to Talmud Torah is unacceptable and is mischayev b'nafsho. What is this idea? I think that this all has to do, again, just playing on or amplifying the idea of Rav Elbow, which was that shocheach Talmud Torah is connected specifically to Torah Shebaal Peh. I think it's connected to the idea of Maimon Har Sinai and Matan Torah, and I think it's connected to the concept of Avodas Hashem in a bigger sense. What I mean by that is, whether it's the agenda of the Yevanim, L'hashkicham Torasecha, or the Mishnah and Avos of Ashocheach as a Torah Mischayev B'nafsho, or the Rambam's comment in Perek Aleph as Talmud Torah, what we're really talking about is the unique requirements of concentration and effort and understanding of what the potential of Talmud Torah really is. If all we were talking about was retaining knowledge and information, as you learn something, you should try to remember it, then obviously the threat from the Yevanim, at least initially, wouldn't have been as great. What do you mean, l'hashkicham torasecha? They were doing some sort of some sort of methodology to wipe people's memories. Obviously not. The point is basically to understand what's going on in Al-Anisim based on the language of the Rambam. What the Rambam is telling us is that if you're mafsik be'esek ha-Torah, that leads to shikha. Which basically means the following. Eis HaTorah and Shitchas HaTorah are opposites. They're mutually exclusive. Both of them, both of these ideas are based on the idea that Torah Shebaal Peh isn't just about acquiring knowledge and information. It's about being part of the chain of the Mesorah. That's why it's Nitan L'Shikcha, not only because it's not written down. The idea is that when it comes to being part of the Mesorah and the study of Torah Shebaal Peh, if you're not continuing Asek, then you're involved in Shikcha. The second that you treat Talmud Torah, Torah Shebaal Peh, merely as knowledge and information to be retained by memory alone, and therefore where you can rely on your memory, as opposed to continuing to engage it as if it is a living force and something which you have great personal and national stake in, and which you have to try to continue to understand as best as possible and to contribute to as part of the chain of the Mesorah itself. In other words, anything less than an engagement defined by Eis HaTorah constitutes essentially Shikchas HaTorah. You're asking for Shikchas HaTorah because you're fossilizing Torah. You're basically treating it as, you're rendering it simple information.
The Rav said that, exactly that, in a little different words, of Maichagas Mika, 1956. He says there's no standing still in Torah knowledge. Either you're going up or you're going down. There's no standing still.
Barsha Kivanti. So I think that's the idea of exactly what the Yevanim had in mind. The Yevanim were trying to create a situation of Shikchas HaTorah. The methodology is what the Rambam tells us, Shelo Yasku BaTorah. Because Shelo Yasku BaTorah means Shikchas HaTorah. Because in order to preclude Shikchas HaTorah, you need to do what Reina Yonah tells you. And you have to think about it. It has to be something that you're semi-obsessed with. It has to be something which is, you know, life and death for you. That's what we call the study of Torah, Milchamta Shel Torah. We call it Milchamta Shel Torah, Dafka between Oavim, right? Avu Bno, Rav Talmido, you know, when they study Torah, it's a Milchamba. Inam Zozim Misham, Ad Shenasim Oavim Zeh. It's a, you know, it's a battleground which forges close relationships, obviously. So the Yevanim were very intelligent people. The Maharal has a whole sefer almost dedicated to explaining, you know, what the ideology of the Yevanim were, and you know how it, he sees this as an ideological struggle, you know, from the beginning to end. You know, Yevanim had their culture. They understood that Yadus constituted an absolute threat because you know it was more than a rival, both intellectually and otherwise, to what they were trying to project, and this was a ideological struggle, mitzchila v'adsof. But they were keen observers, and they understood that the way to undercut Klal Yisrael's advantage is simply to interrupt Eis HaTorah, which in the end fossilizes Torah and makes it something that is nitan l'shikcha, and as such, that's the Achilles heel of Klal Yisrael. And I think of the psukim that are quoted in Avos connected to Matan Torah and Maamar Har Sinai are understood in this way as well. Many of the Mefarshim explain how, you know, there was, of course, Nesinas HaTorah, but often we call it Kabbalas HaTorah. The Amshel Shlomo, in his introduction to his Perush on Bava Kama, has the famous discussion of Elu Ve'elu Divar Lekim Chayim, which he says that basically there were 600,000 Mekablim, you know, at Har Sinai. They didn't hear radically different Torahs. That would be, you know, that would be very problematic, obviously. It's Mishpadecha Yelachem. Klal Yisrael is meant to, you know, to have a uniform law, basically. But nonetheless, that's the greatness of Torah, that the individual is able to see things in a slightly different way and to have input into understanding and arguing what should be the norm within the Mesorah. And that's what Kabbalas HaTorah, that's what the 600,000 Mekablei HaTorah were all about. So in a sense, the Mishnah Avo says that if you are Shocheach Torah, I think, this is what it means, I'm not quoting this from any other source, but when Mishnah says Shocheach Torah, the psukim that are quoted are Raki Shomer Lecha, Ushmor Nafshecha Meod, Pen Tishkach HaSadvarim Asher Roeh Einecha. It's basically a slap in the face to the way in which Torah was given, which incorporates the fact that it is a continuing process meant to be unfolded by a oral Mesorah, which means that the way you keep it alive is to keep discussing it, to keep analyzing it, for individuals to keep adding their own insights to the mix to produce the best possible Mishpat Echad Yelachem. So when you shochech the Beit Torah, even through neglect, essentially you're turning your back on that idea. And that's why it's only Esek B'Torah which secures against Shikhas HaTorah. The term Esek B'Torah also has a very rich history. Right? The bracha that we say in the morning for Birkas HaTorah, Ashkenazim anyway, is the bracha of Lasok B'Divrei Torah. It's Machlokas Chachmei Ashkenaz, Chachmei Sfarad, but with Chachmei Ashkenaz, Lasok B'Divrei Torah. Ben Yonah in Brachos actually says that Lasok B'Divrei Torah may be a reference specifically to Torah Shebaal Peh. If it is, and even if it isn't, the point is, the idea of Esek B'Torah, as opposed to Limud simply, implies a certain level of engagement, number one, and the impact of that engagement also on all aspects of life. So that it isn't just, you know, you're learning, it's not just an intellectual experience, it's something which is an Esek. You know, there's famous discussions about in the Rishonim, why it is that we don't make a Birkas HaTorah after the beginning of the day. When you get up in the morning, you make your Birkas HaTorah, and that seems to last all day long, according to most Rishonim, according to the mainstream view of the Rishonim. There are some exceptions, the Shibali. I could quote some sheets that differ, but basically, this is the reality. And the question is why? After all, a person goes to business, he's involved in this and the other matter. What about the Hefsek to Talmud Torah? And different answers are given in the Rishonim. The Rush, both in his Perush and Brachos and Tshuvas, suggests that no matter what you do during the day, you're still involved. There's no hefsek to Talmud Torah. You're still involved. Your mind, the back of your mind, is still connected with learning. So Sanach Ronim suggests that this is connected to the bracha of Lasok B'Divrei Torah. The idea that Torah isn't just the limud, Torah is an asek, meaning it's the impact that it has on your life. It's the driving force of every Jew in everything that he does, even when technically he's not sitting with a Rambam or a Gemara open in front of him. That too is part of Esek HaTorah. And again, that's part of the strategy. You cut off that aspect of Esek HaTorah, or the other aspect that we spoke of before, of Esek HaTorah, and that's how you generate Shikhas HaTorah. And that is the Achilles heel of the Jewish people. What the Yevanim wanted to accomplish is they wanted to compartmentalize life for the Jewish people. The Jewish concept is the integrated concept of Esek B'Divrei Torah. What they wanted to say is Ein Lachem Chelek Belokei Yisrael. Really, religion is religion, life is life. These are two separate things, and you can't integrate the two successfully. That's the ideology of Yavam. So we're being told that interrupting Esek HaTorah is the way to accomplish Lashkicham Torah Secha in these various ways. And that, I think, explains perhaps also the language of Lahavira Mechukei Ritzonecha. Not necessarily according to the Rambam. The Rambam's view of Lahavira Mechukei Ritzonecha seems to be simply the performance of mitzvos, which isn't simply. That's a crucial ingredient that we'll get to in a moment as well. But the Rambam simply says, Bitlu daitam lo inicho esam lasok, as we were talking about, b'torah u'b'mitzvos. So the word lahaviram lechukei ritzonecha seems to be the esek b'mitzvos of the Rambam. However, in Alanisim, the expression lahaviram mechukei ritzonecha may connote more, specifically the focus on chukim and chukei ritzonecha. It reminds us again of the, you know, the Mishnah in Avos, the Ritzonecha part, Asei Ritzoncha Ritzono, Batel Ritzoncha Ritzono, meaning the idea that part of the ambition in Avodas Hashem is not simply to behave in a certain way, but to, you know, to become almost, you know, one with Ratzon Hashem. Batel Ritzoncha Ritzono. And one of the best ways to do that is again through Esek HaTorah and developing kind of an instinct for, you know, a Torah kind of personality. What the Rav wrote about so dramatically in the essay Isha Halacha is the idea Batel Ritzoncha Liritzono, And the best way to do that is to develop, again, a sensitivity to chukei ritzonecha, the inner logic, especially the things that are not obvious and that don't correspond to most worldly enterprises, the chukei ritzonecha. It's chukim, about which we say, chukim chakti lecha, in lecha reshus lahar her acharai. That's where you get the true batel ritzon chol, ritzono, is by following chukim. The rationalist Rambam, as we all know, the Rambam's rationalist credentials need no elaboration, that's very well known, but the rationalist Rambam is the one, in the end of Hilchos Me'ilah, who says that chukim have priority over mishpatim. And he explains, because the true test of commitment is really chukim, not mishpatim. Anybody can follow mishpatim. Only somebody who's truly devoted and who has, essentially surrendered his own will and his own thought process to that of Avodas Hashem, which I think is a good translation of chukei ritzonecha, only such an individual really has achieved the highest level. And that's why, as the Rambam points out, the chukim are mentioned before mishpatim when we're calculating higher levels of Avodas Hashem. So I think what we're being told is that the agenda was l'hashkicham torasecha, and that was meant to also accomplish l'haviram mechukei ritzonecha, to break that inner logic, to make Klal Yisrael like any other nation that thinks, in a very pragmatic way. It isn't involved in batel ritzoncha l'ritzono. But in the end, the counterattack of the Chashmonaim is precisely to underscore their commitment to Esek HaTorah and to Chukei Ritzonecha, even when it wasn't necessarily logical, or at least it wasn't logical in a way that other people could understand it. Now, I think there's one other element based on the Rambam that we should speak about as well, and that is Lasok B'Torah U'B'Mitzvos. Part of the Esek aspect of Torah is the fact that it is expressed by means of Maisa Mitzvos, and that is crucial as well. Again, in the end of Al HaNisim, we're told, V'idliku neiros v'chatzros kachecha. That, of course, is very intriguing. Is that the menorah that we're talking about? Is that something else? Let's assume for the moment that it's the menorah. But if that's the case, there are all sorts of questions. What do you mean, v'chatzros kachecha? Or it should have been the heichal? All sorts of issues. But let's assume for the moment that it's talking about the hadlaka of the menorah in the mikdash. But, of course, what's fascinating is that there's no mention of the Neis Pach HaShemen. It's simply the Hidliku Neiros B'chatzos Kachecha. And the question is, if we're mentioning already that Hadlaka, how can you omit the Neis, which of course is the focal point of the Braisa and of our commemoration of Chanukah. And I think that this is very consistent with other aspects of how we celebrate Neiros Chanukah. Again, everybody's familiar with the questions, Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, all sorts of other questions that the nace of Neiros Chanukah seem to have been superfluous from a certain point of view, and how therefore could it have been the centerpiece of our commemoration? Didn't really need the nace of the Neiros Chanukah, so why is that what we revolve around during these days? But I think the point is alluded to precisely by not mentioning the nace part, but by focusing on the result of the nace. Hidliku Neiros B'chatzros Kachecha. Again, in previous years we've discussed this in more detail, but essentially what were they fighting for? From a certain point of view, Klal Yisrael, could have justified inaction or passivity based on the principle of Yavor V'al Yehareg. After all, Lashkicham Tarasecha La'aviram Mechukei Ritzonecha, but not necessarily Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos and Shvichus Damim. The response, of course, is that this was, as the Rambam explains, a Shas HaShmav, a Shas HaGzeirah, in which the very loyalty to Torah and Mitzvos was being tested, and in which Klal Yisrael had to respond with Yehoreg Valyavor, in this case with Milchama. But the question is why? What is it about Shas HaShmav which triggers the response of Yehoreg Valyavor, when normally you need an avera of the chomer magnitude of avodah zara, gilui arayos, and shlichus ha'amim, pikuach nefesh, safeguarding human life is very precious. It has attained a very high status in Yahadus. I think if the answer is, again, there are certain basic requirements for Klal Yisrael's spiritual survival. Essentially, that's what Rabbi Akiva, of course, explains in the Gemara at the end of Brachos, that there are certain things that are necessary for Klal Yisrael to be nourished and to live and to exist. And without them, we simply don't have any kind of viable alternative. And for Klal Yisrael, the time of Chanukah, that was the study of Torah, but it was also the implementation of mitzvahs. Because Elimud HaTorah, which is bereft of the potential of Kiyum HaMitzvos, is a flawed Limud HaTorah as well. That's how many of the Mefarshim explain. We have a rule of Osek V'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah. If we were to apply Osek V'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah to Talmud Torah, then you would say, Mitzvos Ma Tehe Aleihem, in a way. Which is why we have the rule that when it's Mitzvah She'yesh L'asos Hayde Acherim, in that circumstance, Osek mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah, doesn't apply. So the Meiri in Moed Katan, and the Ma'arach HaRzaru explains this as well in a slightly different way, explain, well, but what about the rule? Osek mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah. Normally, that applies, afilu b'i'ef shalakayim, and only really applies to b'i'ef shalakayim shneim. So why is it, if Talmud Torah is keneged kulam, that we don't apply Osek mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah, to Talmud Torah of all mitzvahs? But the answer is, as they explain, that Torah has a component of lilmod amanas lasos. And certainly if it's lilmod shalom amanas lasos, there's something wrong with the Talmud Torah too. And I would just add, based on what we've said before, the asik component is severely crippled, if not completely eliminated, when you take away the objective expression of maisa mitzvos. Not maisa mitzvos, the Talmud Torah is not Talmud Torah either. And essentially that's what Klal Yisrael faces every time they encounter a circumstance of Shas HaGzera or Shas HaShmat. And it's that realization that without the external expression of mitzvos, that the rest of it is, becomes theological platitudes and nothing more, that motivates the response of Yehareg the Al Yavar. And I think that's what the Rambam is telling us, is that that's how the Rambam understood La'aviram mechukei ritzonecha. That Klal Yisrael understood that every bit as much as the La'ashkicham Torasecha and connected to it was this idea of La'aviram mechukei ritzonecha. And therefore, in the aftermath of the Muhammad, it was critical that they be able to return immediately to the expression of Maisa Mitzvos. The important thing was, forget about how it happened. Of course, that's a basis for Shabbat V'Hodah, understandably. But the important thing was that immediately they were able to turn in the different direction. L'hadleik neiros, l'chatzros kachecha. And I think that for this reason we find that within the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah itself, we find a heavy emphasis on the substance of hadlaka, as opposed to simply being more of a spectator, even more of a roeh. Of course, the Gemara in Shabbos of Chav Gimel of Aleph tells us that Rosh Hashanah?
Sukkah's in
there. Okay. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kof Gimel Amud Aleph tells us there are three brachos that we make on Chanukah. One of them, of course, is Lahadlik Ner Shal Chanukah. The other one is She'atzal Nisal Mavoseinu. And the third is She'achayanu. That's the Gemara. Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Rav Amadlik Ner Shal Chanukah Tzarech Levarech, Rav Yirmiyah Amar Roa Ner Shal Chanukah Tzarech Levarech, or Rav Yudah Yom Rishon, or Roa Mevarech Beis, or Madlik Mevarech Gimel, Kalim Be'ilach, Madlik Mevarech Shtayim, or Roa Mevarech Achas. Okay. So, we know that there are two brachos that we make every single day, Vahadlik Ner Shal Chanukah and She'asa Nisan La'Voseinu. And it seems obvious that these are two very different brachos, and that they relate to two totally different ideas. Vahadlik is a classic Birchas HaMitzvah, about which we say, kolam mevarchin, mevarech over lasiyasa. Just like you make a bracha on Tilas Lulav and Tkiyas Shofar and Yeshiva Musuka, so too you will make a bracha on Hadlakas Neros Chanukah. It's a regular Birchas HaMitzvah like all others. And the Birchas HaRe'iyah seems like a regular Birchas Shebach V'Hodah. You roe, you experience something, and then you are inspired, you know, to burst out into bracha, right? She'asa nisim la'voseinu, etc. And according to some Rishonim, that's exactly what it is. The Birchas HaMadlik, and we call it a Birchas HaRoa. According to some Rishonim, these brachos are, you know, will go together if the first Ria is connected to the Hadlaka. But if not, then, for example, if you're on your way home and you have yet to be Madlik Neros Chanukah, so you'll say the Birchas HaRoa, because the phenomenon of experiencing or witnessing the Neros Chanukah, right, stimulates the response of Birchas HaRoa, like any other Birchas HaRoa or Birchas Shebach the Hodah, which was always a kind of a response to a stimulus. And indeed, that seems to be the view of Rashi. Rashi explains that the Birchas HaRoa means that any time you encounter another menorah before you light one, even if it's before you light one, even if it's on your way to light one of your own, so you will say Birchas HaRoa. And there's a group of Rishonim who are of the opinion that the Birchas HaRoa, for example, when you do light, should be made after the Hadlaka, as you light the Neros, and then after the lighting yourself, you make the Birchas HaRoa. That's the view of a number of Rishonim. Sounds that way in Masechet Sofrim, etc. However, there's also a very prominent group of Rishonim that do all sorts of interesting things with the Birchas HaRoa. They have all sorts of interesting shitos about the Birchas HaRoa. For example, there's another girsa even in Rashi, Mordechai is a girsa in Rashi, which seems to say that if you're on your way, or if at some point you intend to be involved in the actual Hadlaka, then the Birchas HaRe'iyah will be delayed as well until you do the Hadlaka. In other words, if you're walking home and you see somebody else's menorah, but eventually you're going to light your own, you don't make the Birchas HaRoa, which is, I think, what most of us, that's the position that most of us adopt. This is a big machlokas we've shown him. But it goes even further than that. After all, that could still be explained, as some Rishonim do, by quoting the Gemara in Sukkah. And the Gemara pointed out there that originally they used to make a Birchas Hazman, the Shechiyanu, when they used to build a Sukkah. And then they decided, I think Rav Zeira made the decision, that, you know, you should be Mesader Kula Kasa Dikidusha. You might as well wait for the Shechiyanu and link it up with the Leishim Basukha, so you'll have everything together. That's a Gemara in towards the end of Sukkah, not Nenva. So some Rishonim explain that that's the view, the other view of the Rishonim, that Birchas Re'iyah is going to be delayed. It's reason magdima the mitzvos. You've already experienced the Re'iyah, which should prompt this bracha, right? So that's counterbalanced by this idea of being the Sader Hakol together. So perhaps that would be the explanation, but it's not the explanation that's given by all the Rishonim. The other Rishonim would say, well, if you can, you know, if you can accomplish the mitzvah bishleimusa, then you should really, you know, wait, then Zrizim Akdima, the mitzvah doesn't apply. What I mean by bishleimusa, re'iyah is re'iyah, and hadlaka is hadlaka. This idea is accentuated further by a more radical shita, the shita of the Ram. The Ram says that if you're not going to light at all, right, but you're going to be yotzei hadlaka by somebody lighting for you at home, right, even then you don't make a separate Birchas HaRe'iyah. That's an amazing shita. In other words, if I'm never going home to light, and the only Neros Chanukah that I will experience are my neighbors, right, or the ones that I see in the street, but I myself will never light, we'll never see Neros Chanukah at all, but on the books, I'm Yotzei Yidei Chovas Ner Chanukah because they lit for me at home, Ner Yishuvesa. So then I still do not say Birchas HaRoa. That's a very fascinating shita. There's another shita, almost the opposite, but a parallel opposite shita, of the Riyaz. The Riyaz, quoted by the Shulchan Gibborim in Shabbos, says What if you live in a place where you're never going to see Neros Hanukkah at all? So you live in a non-Jewish environment, but at home, they're lighting in your house. You know, you're on a business trip, let's say. You go to one of these countries. You know, there's not a Jew or a menorah to be seen. And they're lighting for you at home. Neros Shabbesa. So the Riyaz says, if you were walking out on the street and you were seeing a menorah, then if that were the case, you'd be Yotze the Hadlaka at home through Neros Shabbesa. But if you don't even see a menorah, then you're not even Yotze the Hadlaka at home. That's also an amazing shita. Because on the surface, the Ri'iyah aspect and the Hadlaka aspect are two different dinim. One is the Maisa Mitzvah. The other is the phenomenon of experiencing Neros Hanukkah. And one would think that never the twain shall meet, that they have nothing to do with each other. Right? You can have one without the other. If the rule is that I can be Yotze when my family lights at home, and I'm a mitzurah to that ner, babayis, then why should that be affected by whether or not I experience the menorah? I won't experience the menorah, but either way, my act of hadlaka is unaffected, one would think, one way or another. My act of ri'iyah, my birchas haroah, may be affected by whether I encounter other menorah or not, but my hadlaka should be affected by that. So that's a very big chiddush of the Riyaz. But in a way, that is the parallel opposite of the Ran. The Ran's saying, you are Yotzei the Re'iyah, and you cannot make a separate Birkas HaRoah if they're lighting for you at home and accomplishing the Hadlaka on your behalf, even though you will have no Re'iyah experience whatsoever. There's a Sishita also quoted in the Gaonim, I think, that has the opposite, and that is the opposite view, which is, if eventually you are going to, let me put it this way, if eventually you are going to do hadlaka, so then maybe an earlier ri'iyah would qualify to stimulate birchas haroah. The opposite sheet. However, if you are never going to do a hadlaka of your own, and all you're going to see is ri'iyah sacherim, then you should not make the bracha. That's also a very minority view, but that's a view that is quoted. How do we understand some of these shitas? Rabbi Kneger actually has an interesting line. Rabbi Kneger has a famous tshuva, Siman Yud Gimel, in his tshuvas, Tinyana, Chelek Tinyana, where he discusses the following problem. What happens if you're lighting Neros Hanukkah, and for some reason you didn't say a bracha, and you lit already one candle or more, say it's day seven, you lit one candle, two candles, four candles, whatever it is. Can you now make the bracha, Hadlik Nershal Chanukah and Shal Sanisim, can you make that bracha or not? After all, you haven't completed lighting, but it's already after the first nail. That's Rabbi Kinega's question. So Rabbi Kinega says, I think I brought it with me, so Rabbi Kinega says, this is a question about the birchas hadlaka, but it's not a question about the birchas ri'iyah. So when it comes to the birchas ri'iyah, that would seem to be a davar pashut that you could say the bracha. Now, if you lit two neiros and didn't make the bracha yet, but you have three to go, or four to go, or one to go, you're allowed to make birchas haroah. That should be obvious. As nearly the birchas al anisim v'shecheyanu im irakein b'layla echad. After miyad shehid lekaner gamar mitzvah adlakaso mikomaka mevarach elsam d'lo gara miroa d'mevarach ner chanukah. This topic is about hadlaka. But when it comes to birchas ri'iyah, is it worse if I'm lighting my own neiros and I'm on number, you know, two or three or four, then if I'm walking in the street and I see somebody else's menorah? Meaning, what Rabbi Kneger was trying to say, at least initially, was that the birchas haroah is a birchas shemach v'hoda, not a birchas hamitzvah, and consequently, at any stage, I can make the bracha just like you make the bracha after the other person's hadlaka when you see his menorah in the street. So too, You can make the bracha after the fact in your own menorah as well. And then he says, and even though I know you're going to say to me, you know, but we paskin like the Rama. Ramah paskins like the Maril, who says that you make the bracha she'asa nisim, right, the Birchas HaRoah, when you are madlik, you make the bracha over la'asiyasam, matter of controversy in Rishonim. He says, nonetheless, that's only the chatchila, but b'diavet, it's lo gara mi Birchas HaRoah, the menorah shel achei. And then he says, and maybe you'll say, somehow this is connected to the argument, he quotes as the Bach, the argument that I mentioned before about whether or not the person whose wife or family is lighting for them at home, whether or not you make a Birchas HaRoah or not. He says, whatever shita you say on that issue, still, lo gara Birchas HaRoah from seeing something in the street. But I think it's possible, based on what we've said and some of these phenomena, to argue that gara v'gara, maybe it really is worse. What I'm trying to explain is as follows. The truth is that Birchas HaRi'iyah, the text of Birchas HaRi'iyah, is a Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. To such an extent that there is even a view in the Rishonim, the Me'iri says it explicitly, and the Shultos of Parshas Vayishlach also seems to say this, that let's say a person wasn't going to light and wasn't going to see, according to, we don't paskin this, we have a view of the Gaonim and the view of the Rishonim, you still might make the Bracha She'asa Nisim L'Avos Seinu. Even without experiencing anything. Just, after all, it's still a time of Shevach V'Hodah to the Rabbanu Shmuel. It's still Chanukah. Maybe even on Purim you do that and say, no Mikra Megillah. Right? For some reason you're on a desert island, you can't commemorate in any meaningful way, but nonetheless, maybe you say She'asa Nisim. Why not? And even if you say not, because you have to, it has to follow a stimulus, you have to really experience something in order to rhapsodize about it. It has to be something concrete. So, basically, as Rabbi Kinegar said, lo gara mi roa shel acherim. But this impetus, in some of the Rishonim at least, not to treat Birchas HaRoah as if it is a response to a stimulus, but to integrate it into the mitzvah itself, what is that based on? And our concrete nafkamina, as we've just discussed. I think it's based exactly on the idea of understanding what it is that brought about the Milchama and why it was so important that in the aftermath, immediately there be Lahadlik Neros Bechatzros Kachecha. Meaning it's all about Lashkicham Torasecha La'aviram Mechukei Ratzonecha. It's all about the role of a life of Torah and mitzvos and how you can't concede that in its totality. You can always say Yavar V'Yahareg on some specific challenge that you face. But the idea of a life which is completely bereft of either learning or the expression of mitzvos and mitzvos, that's something which is just a prescription for national disaster, for Klal Yisrael. That's a calamity which generates the response of Yehoreg Val Yavo. So basically what we're being told is the message of Chanukah is the message of the substantive role of mitzvos and mitzvos. And it's not enough to be a spectator in that case. Or at least as much as possible, if the only thing open to you is Birchas HaRoah, according to Halmos Rishon, then you have that element as well. But it's not a violation of Zrizim Magdim LeMitzvos, and it's not antithetical to the normal character and text of the Bracha, She'asa Nisim L'Avoseinu, when it comes to Chanukah, to integrate it fully into the Maisa, a mitzvah as well. Because the whole point of this Shevach V'Hodah is that it's not enough to be passive. It's that you have to be involved in Chukei Ritzonecha, in the actual implementation of Maisa Mitzvahs. And for that reason, L'Hadlik Neros, L'Chatzos Kodesh, however it was came, the most important thing is that it was there. And that was a new beginning that was going to set the tone for the new regime which justified the struggle to begin with. And therefore, some of the Rishonim actually say, Zrizim Makdim LeMitzvos in all other mitzvos. But if you have the possibility of integrating this Re'iyah with the actual Maisa Mitzvah, with the Hadlaka, hold out. Better than being a spectator. Much better than, even from the Shevach V'Hodah perspective of this Bracha, it's better. Maybe even if they're being Madlik on your behalf at home, maybe even then, it's better not to split the Re'iyah from the Hadlaka. Because that gives a message that, you know, the Maisa Mitzvah L'chud and the reaction or the response, the Pirsumei Nisa L'chud. What we want to accomplish in Chanukah is to integrate the Pirsumei Anisa with the Maisa Hadlaka itself. And for that reason, one could really raise Rabbi Kivager's question. As it happens, Rabbi Kivager comes out on the side of saying that even when it comes to the Hadlaka, you can make, all things being equal, especially if the first Nair is still burning, he's of the opinion that you can make the Lahadlik, Nair Shel Chanukah, as long as you haven't finished all of the Neiros. But I think the question, at least, and the idea that, you know, Lo Gara Meharoa is something that is an open issue. Because when you are doing the Hadlaka, the Re'iyah becomes very much part of that. Indeed, the Tosis and Sukkah on Mem Vav Amud Aleph explains that, you know, the very fact that we say Shas HaNisim for Chanukah is very exceptional. It also says, number one, it's a symptom of the chavivus of this mitzvah. And number two, he says it's a way of allowing more people to be involved in the Maisa mitzvah, even if they don't have the means to do so. If they don't have their own home, or they're not in their own home. Tosa says that's what justifies Birchas HaRe'iyah. To begin with, it's really very unusual when you compare it to other mitzvahs. So one can understand, as Tosa is saying, you know, two explanations of why this is, two justifications of why we say this bracha. But I think that if we take a step back and we look at the total picture, Tosa is saying something much more profound. Tosa is really putting their finger on what is unusual and exceptional about our celebration of Chanukah and the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah in particular. And he's saying, number one, this mitzvah is chaviva ma'od. When we do the mitzvah, either response to the mitzvah itself is one of shevach v'hoda. That's the Rambam's comment as well. Rambam says, Parag Dalid, Hilchos Chanukah halacha yibes, the very end of Hilchos Chanukah, he has the famous line, Mitzvah Sner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od. Betzorach Adam Lehizar Bo, Kedei Lahodia Hanes, V'lahosif B'Shevach HaKel, V'Hodaya Lo, Al Anisim She'asa Lanu. Afilo Eino Mayochal, Al Amin Atzdaka, Shoel, Mocha Ksuso, Lokeach Shemen, V'Neros Amadlik. So the Rambam has this expression of Mitzvah Sner Chanukah Chaviva, and he tells you how far you have to go to do it. Why? It is Chaviva. The Pirsum here isn't just Pirsum. It's a piersum in the context of a Maisa Mitzvah. Like the Ram said earlier, Laharis or Legalis of Hanes, the Derech a Maisa Mitzvah. And that's why, even though there is a Birchas HaRoeh, but L'chatchila, we want that Birchas HaRoeh to be fully integrated into the Hadlaka. And that's where the piersum of Neis Chanukah, of Ner Chanukah, is different in that respect than the piersum even of Mikra Megillah. And I think that is why we have, that's what the Bali Tosis meant too, when they said that it's a mitzvah chavivah mode. And even the second answer, which really focuses on Re'iyah as a mitzvah in its own right, is basically telling us the Chachamim, when they were metakein Ner Chanukah, basically were metakein a kind of diluted form of Asiyas HaMitzvah. That's really the message of the second day of Tosis. So that if you don't have a home and you don't have a menorah, you too can be involved in the mitzvah. Not just in the pirsum. But through the pirsum, you can be involved or can mitzurah to the Maisa mitzvah. That's what Tosis is really saying. Because part of this pirsum is the connection to the actual action itself. So as we kind of wind up Chanukah, we're not finished yet, we have another day and a half or 2 days. I think it's important to understand that that the Yevanim really had a very dangerous agenda. Baruch Hashem, we all live in an era in which life is relatively, there are challenges, but relatively easy. The biggest challenge we have is being sensitive to the opportunities of Lahashkicham, of avoiding Lahashkicham Torah Sechol Aviram Mechukei Ritzonecha. There's so much out there that is distracting and enticing to people, but it's not external persecution. And we live in an era where people have more free time and people have a greater opportunity, really, to be involved in Esek HaTorah and in Esek Mitzvos, and to develop the kind of instinct that is Batel Ritzono, and therefore the challenge of avoiding Shikhas HaTorah, which is the goal of the Ivanim, is something which is much more attainable than it ever has been, if only we have the will and sensitivity and the desire to achieve it. So, having said that, we have a few minutes, so we'll move on to talk about Esek HaTorah and then not do any learning.
Just
it's a good hara. I have to think about it. Do you have any thoughts? You usually do when you ask a question. You always have something up your sleeve also. But it's a good hour. Okay, but just since we have about 10 minutes or so, so let's just continue with the Gemara here. We discussed the question of the Darim and all the other things. I think we got to the bottom of the page, but I want to pick up, go back just and analyze a few things on the way. The Gemara said here that the Mishnah, which says, Hakol Shoktim Shritasam Shera, so it sounds like it's the Lechatkila Nebediyaved, Hakol Shoktim Lechatkila Shritasam Shera Bediyaved. So at this point, the Gemara had said, Omer Rabba Barula, this is 3, 6, 9, 12, about 14 or so lines from the top of the page. Omer Rabba Barula Hakiktani. Hakol shochtim afil tami bechulin. Anybody can do shchita, even a person who's tamei who's doing the shchita of chulin. So the Gemara says tamei bechulin ma'ilam emra. What do you mean tamei bechulin? That's a stira because there's no concept of zisur latamei chulin. The idea of tuma is something that is important, that is meaningful in the world of kodshim, not in the world of chulin. So the Gemara says bechulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. We're talking about a situation of a person who commits to treating his chulin as if it is kodesh. The kasava chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh ke kodesh dama. And these, the man damar who says that such a commitment is taken seriously is effective. Therefore, what should he do if indeed he's committed to treat this chulin like taras hakodesh? So how can he be shochet if he's tamei? Ketzer wosa, maybe sakan aruka v'shochet ba. The answer is, he does a shechita with a sakana ruka, and that way he doesn't touch the actual basar, he's not metal. Uvim muktashim, lo yishchot, shema yiga bebasar, im shachat yomer barali, shalom agati shechitaso ksheira. And if we're talking about real muktashim, now we have to explain the second part. That's, hakol shochtim is tamei bechulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, besakana ruka. Shchitasan ksheira, the b'diavad is real muktashim, real kachim, where you use a sak in aruka, but we prefer not to rely on it. However, if he says barali shalonagati, shchitaso ksheira. Okay, that's the Gemara. Now the Gemara says chutz mecher shot of a katan, tafilim bechulin gravy, b'diavad namilo. Even if we're talking about real chulin, but we're talking about cher shot of a katan, we don't trust their shchita. Even if it was pure chulin, there would be no hechsher shchita. Why? Shema yishu, shema yidrasu, shema yachlidu, but they will ruin the act of shchita. They'll produce an avela. The kulan sheshachtu, the Gemara says, ahai. Then the Mishnah says, the kulan sheshachtu, v'acher ronosam. What does that go on? So the Gemara says, what does that go on? Ilema, acher shadu v'katan, halakai. If it's a continuation, it shouldn't say, as if it's like a new ha'ara. It should say, v'im shachatu, mi boyan. It should say, Ella must be at Tamei Bechulin. That we're talking again about Tamei Bechulin Shinasa al Taras HaKodesh. So the Gemara says, but Ha'amr Sakat Chila Nami Shachet. That's not B'diavet, that's even Lekat Chila. Ella, the Gemara says, Atamei B'muktashim. We're talking about Shchita of Kodshim Aide Tamei. So the Gemara says, that doesn't make sense either. B'barili Sagi. All he has to do is say that he's certain that he didn't touch the basar, and we believe him. So the Gemara says, delay say command in the shayla. Talking about a case where he did the shechita, we didn't get a chance to interview him afterwards. He ran away, or he went away, and we just don't know. So then the point is, imachayim ro nosam ksheira, the imlab, we should be worried about the tumor. So the Gemara says, "Hi, Tommy, be mekdashim me'achen nafka me'asam nafka." Isn't it an explicit mishnah in Zvachim? Kol apsum sheshakta shitasam ksheira shashchita ksheira bezarim. The nashim b'avadim, the tmeim, afilu kachi kadashim, b'vad shalayu tmeim nogim b'basa. The mishnah says in Zvachim that when it comes to shchita, since shchita is ksheira bezar, you can do shchita even without a kohen. So anybody, even the psulim lavoda, can do it, including men, women, tmeim with a long knife. So the Gemara says, "Hacha ikar hasam, I did the tanashar psulim, taninami tamid b'mukdashim. Ibai seima, hasam ikar de b'kadshim kai, hacha I did the tana tamid b'chulim, taninami tamid b'mukdashim." Or, so 2 days in the Gemara where the main source for tamid b'mukdashim is the Mishnah in Zvachim, and here it's agav urcha, or the opposite. Okay, that's fine. We don't have much time, let me focus on one issue very quickly. The Bali Tosis on the bottom, last Tosis on the page, very small Tosis, but very important Tosis, asks an important question. The Leise come under the Shaila. It sounds like, what will happen if you have a Tame who's shechting Kodshim, right, with a long knife? So again, if he's not supposed to do that with Chathil, not supposed to chance it. But if he does, and he says, Barali Shalom Nagati, we believe him. But if he's Leise come under the Shaila, he's not there, can't interview him. And then the Mishnah says that depends whether Achayim Roh him Osam, if other people observe his Shechita. But let's say other people didn't observe his Shechita. So let's take the worst case scenario. You have Tamei b'Mukdashim, he's not there to be interviewed, and no one saw him. So the Pashtus of this Gemara, the reading of the Mishnah, is that the Shechita will be Psula. We'll assume, we'll have to be Choshesh, that maybe the basar was mistame, and since it's basar kachim, you'll have to burn it, you'll have to get rid of it. So Tosis asks, the afa gav da zara rishus harabin hi, kedamar perakam de psachim, v'hayolanu letahir. Kan, misafek. What's Tosis asking? We have a rule. The rule is that safek tuma rishus hayachid is tame, safek tuma rishus harabin tahar. In other words, this is a rule which is derived from Sota, which when you have the kinui and the stira of an isha who's suspected of being unfaithful to her husband, Sota, so she is warned and then she is misyached, right? She closets herself, she goes into a private place, and she's suspected of being mizana. So the rule is that safek tuma b'rishus hayached is tameh. The burden of evidence is on her. On the other hand, we learn from there that safek tumah rishus harabim tahar. So if that's the case, Tosis is saying, the azara is a rishus harabim. So any safek that occurs in the azara regarding tumah should be safek tumah rishus harabim tahar. So why are we saying that if he's not there? So we don't know if he doesn't say barali, he does not say barali, we're not sure if it's a safek. And no one saw him, it remains a safek. Gemara seems to say that the Mishnah will, under these circumstances, be posel. Shafek tumah b'rishus harabim tahar. The Tosa says, "Hai safek lo dami l'shar safek tumah b'rishus harabim mishum derot pamim lo yichal yizar miliga." Tosa's two answers. First answer is, this is not just a regular safek ashakol, a 50-50 or even a 55-40, a close, in other words, to weighted safek. Here you have a rov that there is tuma, and Tosis is being mechadesh, and we have a rov of tuma. The rule of safek tuma b'rishus harabim tahar does not apply. And then he gives another answer, v'ayri b'bama, referring to something he said to Tosis earlier. But if we're talking about, maybe we're not talking about the Beis HaMikdash, maybe we're talking about the bama, right? His backyard, he has a mizbeach, right? So that could be a rishus hayachid. And there, safek tumah b'rishus hayachid would be tame. I mean, Tosis isn't completely comfortable with the conclusion that he is drawing, which is that the general rule in Hilchos Sfeikos Shel Tumah, that tame safek tumah b'rishus harabim tahar, that rule does not apply against the rove. That's 2 days in Tosis.
Another reason. There's no safek. There is vada tame.
Right.
the suffix is on the maisa that he did.
Okay, but in terms of the basar, we want to know. Well, the truth is what you're saying is it's not obvious because what we're really interested in is the basar. But what you're saying does have an echo in the Ramban. So I'm not going to argue too strenuously with it. The Ramban rejects it in the end, but he says it. What I want to do is just, in the 2 or 3 minutes I have, just run through this Ramban quickly, because there's a very, very important yesod at the end of it. The Ramban says, the second one on the page, in set 5, the Imshacha Dorma Barali Shalonagati Shitasak Sheira, Ikatakashale, Lamale Barali, says the Ramban, same question as Tosas. After all, Kimisapkele Nami Shitaso Kshera. Even if it's a sapek and we can't clarify it, it should be Kshera. The Nechti Azara Rishus Harabim Hi. The Azara is a Rishus Harabim, Kerabim Perkam, the Psachim. This part is just the Gemara that establishes that. Zosomeres Azara Rishus Harabim Hi. The Kim Jakain. Sapek Tuma Rishus Harabim. The Sapek Tuma Rishus Harabim. Speko Tahar. So you should be the Tahir because the Sapek is in the place of Rishus Harabim. Vichilese Gabon, right, if he's not present, Dili Shaili, Nama Lamali Acher, Rono son. The Nichole, first he quotes Tosa's answer, the Kiva the Shachit, Raglaim Ladavar the Naga, right, since he did the Shkita, he's likely to have, meaning it's a robe of Tame, the Kalecha Dika Raglaim Ladavar, Afilu Vishus Arabim, Nami Sveko Tam. This was Tosa's rule. Safek Tum Vishus Arabim Tahar only applies in a Safek. Hashakol, not against the road. The Amar, the Hachinami, Amrinim B'Psachim, Gabi Shivchasa Shal Meitzik, She'etila Nefa Lavar. I'm not going to go into the case there, but the case there is an opposite case, actually. And this is a very important point. Basically, what they're trying to prove is from the, we have the rule, Safek Tum B'Shus HaYachid Tamei. Now let's say, Safek Tum B'Shus HaYachid Tamei, when you have a rove of Tahar. We still apply that rule? So what we're trying to prove is no. When there's a robe, tahar, we don't apply the rule of safek tuma versus ayachid tame. That's the case there of a nefel, a coin vehitzitz, leidam zachar. We're not sure whether the coin was contaminated by a body, by a mace or not. Uba maisa lefnei chachamim, the tiaruhu, shechulda bardalos mitzvah, each other animals there, vakshin alaba in safek motzim yideva. I'm running through it because the details are not important for us at the moment. Umfarkin and shema ruach ipila. Okay, versus Hayachid, the Gavin Maduras Goyim, Misnebetal Sefta, Ohalos, Adi, versus Harabim, Sveiko Taru, right? Vadai, Vikivan, Shu, versus Hayachid, Kol Sveika, Sveikas Tamei, the rule is Suffolk Tuma, versus Hayachid, is Tamei, and yet, Ella, Kivan, Shu, Suffolk, Aragil, Tolim, Lahakel, against the robe, we don't apply this rule. And then he adds, the Kol Shekain Lahachmir, Tolim, Bedobar, Aragil. So if in Safek Tumah B'Shus HaYachid, we say that that only applies to Safek HaShakol, but against the Rov it won't apply, we won't be Machmir Neged Rov, then certainly in Safek Tumah B'Shus HaRabim, we won't be Mekil Neged Rov either. Zek Kosel HaTosis. That's not so simple. That Kol Shekain. Why? Tosa says in Sota, of Chozayin with Beis, that maybe there really is no rule of Safek Tumah B'Shus HaRabim Tahar. The only rule is Safek Tumah B'Shus HaYachid Tameh. That's the Chiddush. Really, the rule should have been that whenever you have a Safek of Tumah, you're always Mekel. Why? Mukminan Acheskas Tahara. You always assume that the presumed previous state was Tahara. So the rule of, this is what Tosas and Sota, the rule of Safek Tumah B'Shus HaRabim Tahar is basically a natural halacha mukmin and achiz kasa. The chiddush is that if it's b'shus hayachid, that we learn from Sota, safek tame. So if we say about the chiddush, ein mecha boel chidusha, in other words, this chiddush is only when it's a safek hashakol. But against a rov, that far you're not going to push this exception of safek tuma b'shus hayachid tame. That doesn't mean that in the other direction, where you have a natural din, of Mukmina Nechaz Kaso, that won't apply other than the case of Safek Ashako. And then Ramban goes on and says the following. Just give me one more minute, 2 more minutes. L'zah Pirush, Tome Bechulin, Deshochet, Omer Barali, Halav Hoche Afilu B'diabet Tome. From Bnezeh Yivatal HaPerush Hazeh, the Kol Tzorak, Omer Barali, Lav L'chatchila. V'od, Lo Nihira, the Safek Tumah B'Shus HaRabim, Hilchasa Gemirila. Ramban disagrees for another reason, the opposite reason. Rabban says, I don't think this is correct. Because Safek Tuma versus Harabim, Tahar, he says, is a halacha l'moshe misinai. Now, do we really need a halacha l'moshe misinai if there's a Safek Hashachu? Can Arminim become a dukti b'talmuda? The Isa l'kamam b'pirkim, who tarot based on Avadazar, Safek Tuma versus Harabim, hita lahem hai, hilkasa gemirila. Dechi itstrich, hilkasa, vehecha de'ika raglayim l'davar, itstrich. When do we need a halacha? The Moshe Misinai, a chiddush, in a situation where you have to overcome, right, the logic, and the logic is azlina and basar rove. So if you have a rove of iser, and then you have a hilchos of gemirula that says safek tuma versus harabim tahar, that's sensible. But you don't need hilchos of gemirula to tell you that azlina and basar rove, or that machmirim b'safek hashakol, or matirim b'safek hashakol. Which is exactly what Tosfos Sota said. But the Ramban's saying, if there really is a rule, it's not just a fact that Safek Tuma B'Shus Harabim is Tahar, but it's based on a halacha, Hilchosa Gemirila, that it must be that it overcomes some natural law, namely the law of Rove. And then he says what you suggested. Maybe it's like a vadai noga, because he is touching. Just the question is whether he's touching with his hand or he's touching with a sakin. So maybe that's why we're machmir. Ramban says that maybe you could say that. Velesa. But it's not correct. And then he comes up with the yisod that I wanted to finish with. Ela she'ena kushya klu. To be muktashim b'chihai gavna. La the Safek Tuma Daininan. The Haba'u Shimor, the Sid Mishmeres Trumosai. Ramban says as follows. When it comes to Kadshim, the rule of Safek Tuma versus Arabim, Lahakel, Tahar, doesn't apply. Because in Kadshim, the Torah already used the expression of Shmira. And whenever the Torah says Shmira, what it means is don't risk, don't put yourselves in a situation where you have to rely on Kalei Hakara. If this is something that is truly precious, that is truly meaningful to you, Shmartem es Mishmartai, or Mishmeres Trumosai, like it says in Truma, then the level of Shmira that is required isn't one which incorporates Kalei Hakara. It says don't reach a point where you require Kalei Hakara. That's the Chiddush of the Ramban. Habo Shimor, Dixiv Shmeres Trumosai, El Tsarif She Barley, Shehin Torin, Vim Lab Asalat Rikon. The Ramban basically is telling us something about Kedusha in general. And that is, that not only are there rules and regulations about Tahara and Truma and Kadshim, but that basically it's a whole different way of relating to a davar shebikdusha and a davar shel tahara, and that is the requirement of shimor, which precludes relying on kali safek to begin. Okay, we'll stop here.